and is looking for our guests. And here comes the governor right now, making his way over to us. Governor Christie, welcome. How are you? So, former Governor Chris Christie joining us here at the table, and it's amazing. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so I am very familiar. 15 minutes away from Trenton, the Trenton Makes Bridge. So very familiar with New Jersey. It's amazing how New Jersey has had more Republican governors in the last 40 years than Washington State has. We've had exactly zero. But one of the things that impressed me the most when you took office in New Jersey, the first thing you did was tackle something that we've got a real issue with here in Washington State, and that is public service unions, their drain on a number of resources, specifically when it comes to tax dollars, how those negotiations are done behind closed doors. We never see what happens. What was the tack that you took tackling the public service unions? And talk to us a little bit about the success that you had with that.
Well, Rob, first off, thanks for having me on. Head on is the way you do it. There's no subtle way to do it. There's no easy way to do it. They're extraordinarily powerful, the teachers union in particular, extraordinarily well-funded group of people. In New Jersey, for instance, they collect about $140 million a year in dues. So what you do is you try to point out to people the inequity and the unfairness of the benefits that are given to public employees. Ask people, for instance, if after 3 years of their job, are they guaranteed a job for life? If after 25 years, they're guaranteed 70% of their salary for the rest of their life? If they're guaranteed, you know, fully paid medical benefits for the rest of their lives at no cost? And when they hear those things, it strikes them that there's a general unfairness to the way the unions are demanding these things, that the taxpayers have to foot the bill. And I think once we started to make those arguments, and repetitively and directly, no fancy words, people got it, and we started to get real movement.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because the lack of fancy words is what endeared you to a lot of voters in New Jersey. You were a straight shooter. You came out swinging. You told people exactly what the issues were that you saw in the state. You had a lot of success, particularly in your first term as governor of New Jersey. Talk about a few of the things that you were able to accomplish the voters in Washington State could potentially learn from. What are some of the common sense things, some of the common sense approaches you took to help make things better for New Jersey residents during your time as governor?
Well, first off, pension reform. And we needed to do more. We did as much as we could get done, but what we got done would save $120 billion over the next 30 years in New Jersey, making people pay more money in for their pension system. Right now, the average teacher, for instance, in New Jersey, goes through in retirement, 2.5 years into retirement, they've run through all the money they ever put into the system. And every day after that, it's taxpayer money that's being taken out of the system. It's intolerable. We now have public employees all have to pay a percentage of their health benefit premiums, sliding scale up to 35% of their premiums based on how much money they make. Seems fair to share in the cost of premiums. Then you have skin in the game. We got that done. We got a cap of 2% put on no award in interest arbitration to a police or fire union could be higher than 2% increase in salary and benefits all in. That helped to control the cost, and that's why we have the high in this 10 years before I became governor, property taxes went up 70% in New Jersey. In my 8 years as governor, property taxes went up 14%. So pretty significant change in the way we did things.
Now, if I remember correctly, you were a former U.S. District Attorney.
I was the United States Attorney for New Jersey for 7 years before I became governor.
Now, with all of the investigations that we're seeing going on at the federal level, I'm sure your eye has been on those. We're seeing some investigations going on that led up to the 2016 election, of course, where President Trump took the Oval Office. What are some of the things that you're seeing in the background investigations that have been opened up by AG Barr that could potentially shed some light on some of the things that occurred leading up to the 16 election? For example, the FISA warrants on Carter Page and so on and so forth that's led to the whole. Is there anything that you're noticing in particular that may spell trouble for those that are trying the impeachment push?
Well, I think that the Attorney General is doing what should have been done right from the beginning, which was to have a full, complete, impartial examination of how they got this whole thing started in the midst of a presidential election in 2016. And what were the motivations for it? And were the things that were in those affidavits for the FISA warrants sufficient? Were they truthful? And if any of those people engaged in stuff that was untruthful, they need to be held to account for it criminally. And so I think this attorney general will look at anything that needs to be looked at. And I'm confident that he and I know the inspector general is going to come out with a report probably in the next week regarding a lot of this stuff. And I think he did a very good report on Jim Comey and the real awful mistakes that Comey made as FBI director. And I think he's going to come out with another report. And I know Mike Horowitz, I'm confident he'll do a good job.
Now, most of us remember the last time in this country, of course, Bill Clinton. What is striking you as different with what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. now surrounding President Trump and what we saw surrounding President Clinton?
You know, amazingly to me, I don't see a lot different. I just see the uniforms changed. You know, listen, I think Republicans during the Clinton time, decided to go forward with an impeachment even though they knew they had no chance to be able to get him removed from office. And I think it wound up hurting Republicans in the long run politically because they did that. I think the Democrats are making the same mistake. There is no chance that President Trump is going to be removed from office in 13 months before a national election. No chance. And so the fact is they're wasting time and energy, and they're doing it in a way that's making people believe that they're not being fair. I think ultimately this is going to be a bigger problem for Democrats than it's going to be for Republicans.
We're talking with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA, one of the guest speakers this evening at the Washington Policy Center's Eastern Washington Dinner. Governor Christie, could you give us a little bit of a preview of what your speech is going to entail this evening to those in attendance?
Well, tonight I think what the Policy Center wanted me to talk about was those things that we did in New Jersey to give some hope to folks here in Washington State that things like this can be done and done on a bipartisan basis. Because remember something, everything we just talked about in one of those earlier answers I gave you was done with a Democrat legislature and a nearly veto-proof Democratic legislature. So the fact is we've got to be able to work together in this country again to get these big important issues done. So I'm going to talk about how we did that in New Jersey, and we'll give a little preview of the 2020 election and let people know how I see it from the perch where I sit now as a 18-year friend of the president's and the person who prepared him for his debates back in 2016.
One final question for you. He absolutely defies most logic when it comes to what he does in the office. And to me, it's one of the endearing qualities about him. The people that look at him don't look at him as the president. They see him as somebody they can have a beer with. Is the true man that we're seeing the man that you've known for 18 years, or is there a little bit of that show business flair that he's picked up over the years that he's kind of brought into the Oval Office with him as maybe a little bit of diversionary so that the real man can get things done?
I've known him for 18 years, and he's always had that show business flair, even before he was really in show business on The Apprentice. And I can tell you that he's not a lick different than he was when I met him 18 years ago. He is who he is, and he's exhausting sometimes. He's exasperating sometimes. And I think even those of us who support him sometimes wonder what he's up to. He doesn't make it easy on you sometimes to be his friend and his supporter. But in the end, he is who he is. And I think people ask me all the time, what's he really like? I say, what you're looking at is what he's really like. He's no different. You know, my wife and I had dinner with he and the First Lady a few months ago at the White House, just the four of us. No different with the four of us in a dinner up in the residence than he is when he's, you know, walking onto the lawn of the White House and giving a hard time to the press corps on the way to the helicopter. Same guy.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, we appreciate the time you had for us this afternoon on the program. Best of luck with the speech tonight, and thank you for your service.
Rob, thank you very much. Thanks for what you're doing every day on the radio. And I am happy to be here and be on the program. Thanks for giving me the chance.
We're going to take a quick time out. Come back with more of The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA, live from the Grand Davenport Hotel here in Spokane, the Washington Policy Center's Eastern Washington Dinner. Coming up, we are going to talk with Dr. Roger Stark. He is the healthcare policy specialist for the Washington Policy Center about some healthcare reforms we may see. Well, maybe they're not reforms, but we'll find out what Dr. Stark's take on it is when we talk about some of the short session issues coming up in the legislature after this.